I haven't finished my Jolly Rancher yet. So I'm going to put that right there. Don't steal it. I'm battling allergies. How many of you like cinnamon Jolly Ranchers? They're the best. Do you eat them so much that your tongue turns raw and your head hurts? Yes. And does anyone else take the last part of that Jolly Rancher and kind of form it into a circle? Right? Oh, great minds think alike. I've got a witness there. So anyway, so don't fixate on that, because I'll be back to that in a minute. So, well, good morning. Glad you're here this morning. I hope that you're glad you're here this morning. If you're not glad you're here this morning, just keep it to yourself if you would. We'd appreciate that. But let me give you a couple things of instructions this morning if you're new to us. One is all of our Pokemon Go players, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Now, for those of you who have no clue what that is, other than what you're hearing the hate on Facebook about, it's a web-based game that harkens back to a couple of decades ago now, I think. All I ask is this: you can Pokemon go, just not during church, okay? So let's just keep it down, all right? Afterwards, you can just go nuts, but not right now. Also, if you're on Facebook today, I invite you to open it up, check in right now for me. And my suggested check-in hashtag for you is "My Joy is in Jesus." And once you get checked in, close that down. You don't need to be surfing Facebook. It'll be there in an hour, I promise. And then also, if you're new to us, anytime you see that small Bible icon, all the notes that are used this morning are available to you in the YouVersion Bible app. See, they're going right now. See, he's going to go get Pokemon right there. But anytime you see that small icon, and there's three or four in today's notes, there's extra notes I've given to you that you can go dig a little deeper. Just time keeps me from going too far with some of these. So, but I want to give you something extra going forward. Also, today I want to invite you on August 7th. We have been invited to a pool party. Woo-hoo! Well, thank you. Somebody. Listen, some of you guys have pools in your backyards. Don't be haters. It's a pool. Anyway, let's bring it. Y'all going to have to bring it up a little bit. Anyway, but our sister church, if you've seen the old Greenville Athletic Center out on 69 South, is being transformed into the new home of the church at River Oaks. Friends of ours, sister church of ours, we work together, pastor's friends. And they've done this for the last couple of years. They have an end of summer kind of big kick over at the Jalu Pool. And this year they invited us to come be a part of it with them. And this has a bit of historical significance. How many of us are old enough to remember when the Jalu Pool was built? And we thought, woo, there's a pool in town. Guess what? Sunday night, August 7th, when you walk out of the pool, that's the last time it'll be open as a pool. You're going to close it down. They're going to turn it into a splash pad. We used to know that as a water hose in the front yard, but it's going to be a great time of fellowship. We're just wanting to come together, and what we're hoping is to maybe build toward the future. Our vision going forward is that maybe next year we can bring together several churches and rent out the new water park. And one thought was having a city baptism service and having that together, and then we'd just all be there and have fun at the water park. But, you know, that's next year. But this year, it's out here. And so I invite you to come. Bring your friends, bring your families, leave your Speedo at home, Scott. But it's going to be a good time. It's free, so and you'll be a part of history. You can't take the frog. You can't. Someone over there was already thinking about it. Melinda was. That's going to go to my house. Jacob, get that frog. But anyway, it's going to be good. All right. Well, we're continuing our study today through the book of Galatians, and we're taking the entire month to just kind of focus on the fruit of the Spirit. We had a great discussion in Life Group this morning about the way that we look at other believers and believers look at us. If we're not careful, we have a hard time understanding what we're supposed to look like, because we all have different opinions, we all have different flavors, we all have different tastes. You know, we talked about worship. You know, there's those under the tent of faith that believe the only instrument that you need is the one God gave you in your voice. And I tell you, a beautiful voice is a beautiful thing. And sometimes, you know, but that's okay, right? It's okay. And then there's others who worship for them is a big production, and that's okay. And we talked about the way that we dress, where we worship, when we worship, how we worship, what we look like when we worship, a lot of those things. But God gives us a very clear and very simple description of what we should look like. As a Christian, what should I look like? When I look in the mirror and I go, am I Christ-like? What does it look like? And when we look at each other and we ask, are we Christ-like? What does that look like? And when we're looking into the world and the world's looking at us, because we're called to be salt and light, do we look like what Christ looks like? So today we're going to begin our walk through the fruit. And last week, well, let's read the passage of Scripture. Yeah, I was so excited to get there. I was going to skip right over. Here's our focus passage. Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wouldn't it be a weird thing if Congress passed a law? Thou shalt not be too kind. Thou shalt not be too good. Thou shalt not be too gentle. Anyway, that's just me having fun. The first one was love. We talked about this last week. And if you remember, if you're new to us, I'm a picture thinker, so you get a lot of pictures. Last week we talked about love is the hinge that our life swings on. Anybody, any of you guys ever have the old saloon door in your house? Maybe it was two of them. You had those, right? Did you ever pinch your finger in them? No? Did your kids? Yeah. It's all fun until a kid gets pinched, isn't it? Then Miss McKinney goes, they're out of here. They're out of here. But that hinge, see, the challenge that we face is our life pivots on our love. And in our love, there's one seat. There's not two seats. There's not three seats. There's not a whole deck of seats. There's just one seat. And whoever or whatever is seated on that seat determines the hinge of our lives, right? And the Bible says that love is the hinge that we pivot on. And the question is who do we love and what do we love? Now, there's a lot of good things to love, right? Yes, Jimmy, there is. Thank you. There is. There's a lot of good things to love, right? There's a lot of good things. But the challenge that we face is the Bible teaches us is that God wants to be above everything else. Because whatever we seat on that throne is our God. It could be me. I might be my own God. There was actually a time when I created my own religion. I told you that. I was so cocky. Anyway. But whoever or whatever we put on that, that's the king, that's the God of our lives. And God says we can't have any other gods before Him. That means even our spouses. That means even our children. That means even our grandchildren. They have a place in our love tree, but they cannot sit on the throne. Because if we're going to love them properly, we must love Him properly. Because love is a trickle-down economics. And so the challenge that we face is we have to answer the question, who do we love? And once we begin to answer that question, and the challenge also is this, is it's a day-by-day process, it's a moment-by-moment process of reestablishing who's in that chair. Life can be a little bit like, what's that game where you play music? Music, it's kind of like that, isn't it? Because depending on what's going on, you might change who's in that seat, right? Cowboy season. I had someone just yesterday go, hey, you know Cowboys start in like 29 days. I go, hey, never crossed my mind. I just, you know what, because until they count, don't call me. Right? I have no interest in preseason. You know why? It don't count. I mean, you might as well just stand out there and square dance. I don't care. I mean, if I get a free ticket, I'm in. If it's free, it's for me, right? But I don't pay to go watch a scrimmage. In soccer, they have it smart. They just call it a friendly. You know what that means? It don't matter. It's a friendly. Can you imagine two street gangs? We're going to have a friendly tonight. What does that mean? We're just going to have pizza anyway. But anyway, it's a constant conflict, and it's a constant repositioning because the world tries to put things on there, and sometimes our feelings want to put things on there. But God says that love is the hinge that everything else hinges upon, and so we must guard that. Listen, just here's the real simple thing, is love God with all of you got. And then everything else will start falling into place. If you'll just love God with everything that you've got, it's amazing how other things become very easy. So, and now we get to see the fruit. If we're loving God, what does that begin to look like? Well, the first one is joy. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Anybody remember that? Oh, that you give me a yeah. Look at that. Oh, look at Pam. Look, you little Pentecostal you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But our culture has incorrectly linked joy with the presence of comfort and the absence of pain. In our world, we think joy comes from not having pain. Now, listen, for all those of us that are more seasoned, pain is a constant presence in our life, isn't it? Amen? Can I get amen? Now, for all of you youngsters, you may not have that joy yet. For some of us, we get up and every morning it just starts. I wake up in three stages. I've got a knee that won't bend. I've got a knee that won't straighten out. And I've got a back that needs to warm up. I mean, I am not an animal. It's a thing. But our world is so focused on the pursuit of joy, which is natural. We're going to talk about that. But we, in our minds and in our television and in our advertising, we're being convinced that joy is the absence of pain. Well, there's a challenge with that. As long as we're in this world, there will always be a pain of some sort. The Holy Spirit empowers us to experience a joy that is not dependent on the circumstances of life. Circumstances change, don't they? I mean, moment by moment, they change. True joy is rooted where? In a proper relationship with God and with others. So let's look. What's the difference between the joy that comes from God and the happiness that comes from the circumstances? How many roller coaster riders do we have here? Really, Jay? How do you get in there? Just fold it all up? All right. How about here? Roller coaster riders? Still? Okay. Over here? Yeah. You really? All right. All right. Well, you know, if you love roller coasters, I don't get those people. I mean, I used to. I don't now. See, now that I'm one that doesn't ride them, I hate the rest of you, right? That's the way we go. Because somewhere in about 22, whatever that mechanism in your mind that goes, this is awesome, turned off in my mind. But it's funny, you wait in line for 3 hours to ride 30 seconds to make you feel like you're going to throw up, and those lovers are like, woo, 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 and you're like, no, let's just slow down. And look at these people, look at them. We're living! You know, life is like that sometimes. Don't you love those days? Don't you love those moments? We're living, life's good. But for them, sometimes it's like, oh! I don't know. I remember the last time I rode a roller coaster, I spent more time pushing down on my innards trying to come up. I mean, felt like an astronaut, kind of, but I'm just trying to hold stuff in place. I'm glad they didn't have cameras back then because I'd have looked something like this. But you see, joy in the biblical context isn't life's roller coaster. Listen, you know what? We can go from a life that's really high and exciting to the depths of life just like that. I mean, and it doesn't even have to be by our own choosing. Because sometimes life just interrupts us. It just spills over into our lives. And so what we're talking about here is not a joy that does this. We're talking about a joy that has a constant to it. Joy is found in a right relationship with God, having our sins forgiven, and being in fellowship with the Lord. That's where joy comes from. A sense of a belonging, a sense of peace, and those other things. So let's look what Peter says. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with what? Joy. Now, it doesn't say you got season passes to Six Flags with joy. Not that that's a bad thing. He says that because you believe, because of your faith, you greatly rejoice with what? Joy. Joy, inexpressible joy. I was in the elevator the other day. I was at a hospital, and I get in the elevator with a lady, and she asked me, she goes, can I ride up with you? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's a public elevator, you know. I didn't say it, but I'm thinking that. I've never had someone ask me that, you know. I mean, I've had them walk in and go, is that you that I smell? But anyway, I said, well, no, that's the pastrami. But anyway, she goes, how you doing this morning? And I begin to go through my head 1,000 things. She's just making small talk because it was a tall building. I was thinking 1,000 things, and you know what? The one thing that came to my mind was this: I'm blessed. Because we could spend 100 stories talking about the specifics, but I have this inexpressible joy I'm blessed. I used to think that was a lazy way out for Christians. Do you ever have those people? How you doing? I'm blessed. I used to think, man, you're just lazy. You just, right? Right? You're just faking it till you feel it. But you know what? If you want to sit down and talk a couple hours, let me unpack it. But if you just want like the drive-by, the tweet-by, I'm going to give you this. I'm blessed. There's just an inexpressible joy. It just is. It's like the heat when you step out. It just permeates every part of you. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your soul. Joy comes from faith and salvation. Oh, I'm going to tell you, man, it'll get you there, right? Bethany Hamilton, how many of you have heard of this young lady? How many of you saw the movie? Look at y'all. All right. Well, Bethany Hamilton, if you don't know, at one time was ranked as the best amateur surfer. And in October of 2003, life interrupted us. She was in the ocean. She was in Hawaii. She was surfing. You'd think life's up here, right? How many of your life would be up here if you were in the ocean in Hawaii this morning? I got to tell you, I love y'all, but that'd be pretty good. Pretty good. And she's out there and she's doing what she's loved and she's doing it with the people that she loves. Man, life is way up here. And then a tiger shark decides, and attacks her. Now, fortunately, she survived, obviously. But then what do you do with that? Beautiful young lady, teenager, left arm gone. Well, now what, right? That's what we do. Now what? The natural question is why would God do this to me? Well, a shark's a shark. You know what a shark does? Shark eats things. That's what sharks do. Well, how does Bethany respond to this? Well, it's very awesome. You hear the story. Soon after being attacked, she began raising money to help with a man's eyesight there on the island. And then when in New York, during the winter, she saw a homeless girl and gave her her coat. And when asked, why would you do that, her response was this. She said she had more than she needed in life. Joy reminds us of how much we have instead of the world's joy that says, I'm not joyful enough, I need more. Here's a young lady whose life is in the middle of transformation, and her focus isn't on what she's lost, how it affects her. Her focus is on others. Well, her pastor said this. She's looking forward to the future. She's asking herself, how can I show the world I still have a life? But you have no left arm. Well, I still have a life, right? Heart still beating, lungs still breathing, feet still walking, eyes still seeing, brain still functioning. I've got a life. It's a different life, but I have a life. How can I show the world I still have life, I enjoy my life, and that my life is filled with joy? How could she be filled with joy? How can you be filled with joy when this happens? Well, she has an underlying trust that God is taking care of her. She has a joy that doesn't come from circumstances, it comes from relationship. She has a purpose that isn't coming from circumstances, it comes from relationship. And I promise you, she can still outsurf all of us. I'd love to surf once, I just don't see it happening. So the question we need to answer before we go any further is how can you have that kind of joy in your life? Because if you're here today and you look at this and you go, man, I want some joy in my life. I want that kind of joy in my life. Let me tell you, there's a very easy prescription for you today. And I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't share with you the prescription for joy in your life. It's as easy as ABC. It seems pretty easy, isn't it? Have you ever gotten a doctor's script and you look at it and you go, what chicken wrote this? Now, what I don't understand is you go and you hand it to the pharmacist and they go, okay. You want to talk about faith, you hand something you can't read to a perfect stranger who goes, yeah, I can read that. And then they hand you a bottle of pills and you go, okay, I'll take that. There's not an absence of faith in the world, my friends. Well, if you're here today and you say, I want, how do I get that kind of joy? Well, first of all, the Bible says we have to admit something. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and it simply means that we missed the mark. God is perfection. God bats a thousand. God hits a hole in one every time. God is perfection, and we're not. We must admit that we're sinners. Now, sometimes people's pride gets in the way, and they go, I'm not a sinner. Well, here's what I can say about me, is I disappoint myself. I don't live up to my own expectations of me. And this is what I know, too, is sometimes I don't live up to your expectations as much as I'd want to. So logic dictates that if I can't bat 1,000 with me, and I can't bat 1,000 with you, and I certainly can't bat 1,000 with my hometown Greenville, then a perfect God, I'm a sinner. Sometimes I'm a sinner by choice, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Sometimes I'm a sinner by accident, but I'm a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. That's discouraging news. The Bible says that we also must believe. Believe what? Believe on Jesus. Not just the historical Jesus, but who Jesus is, the one and only Son of God. Who Jesus is, sinless, born of a virgin. Who Jesus is, the man who gave his life on a cross for your sins and for my sins, not for his sin. Who Jesus is, a man who on the third day God raised from the dead to prove he was who he claims to be. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe what Jesus said. Jesus says, I am the exclusive way to God. I am the exclusive way to heaven. You've got to believe that. Now, that's your choice, but you've got to believe that. And C stands for confess. It's a legal term. It means to simply come into agreement with what God says. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. It's simply this, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I need you. I mean, if I could just boil it down to that. That's what I did on that January morning. That's what many, many people in this room have done. My friend, today, if you want the joy that only a relationship with God can provide for you, this is your pathway to peace. And I would be absolutely wrong to not stop right here and give you an opportunity to respond. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. I'm not going to beg you into anything. Listen, if you want it, here's the prescription. I would pray something like this, and this is just you speaking from your heart to God. I'd say something like this, God, I sin. I fail. God, I know it, and I agree with you, Lord. God, I believe today, Lord, with all the faith that I have, Lord, I ask you to give me more faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe in who he is, what he claims to be, who he claims to be, what has been claimed that he has done, what has been claimed that you have done. Father, today I believe in Jesus as my only hope. And Jesus, today I ask you to give me your gift of forgiveness. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Savior, to be the King that sits on my heart's throne. Jesus, I invite you in to transform me into the person you created me to be. Jesus, I ask you today to help me to know you and to love you more each and every day of my life. Thank you for loving me. And Father, thank you for one day heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that saves you. And this is what I want to ask you to do today, is if you've made that decision, or if you have questions about that decision, I'm going to invite you. You can text me at this number right here. We can't stop down right now. I got places to get to. But I want to give you a chance to respond to me so I can respond to you, okay? Very simple. You can send it there. It's going to come to me, and we'll talk about it. Let's go ahead. So now we're talking about peace. We're not talking about kumbaya. Did anybody sing that at summer camp? Kumbaya, my Lord. It was awesome, wasn't it? It was good. It was simple. Good times. But we're talking about peace. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, the world has longed for peace, but the world knows no peace. We have moments of peace, don't we? You have those moments at the end of Channel 8 News when they give you the surfing squirrel. Did you guys know that the water skiing squirrel was in Greenville Thursday? How did we ever? I didn't see any police escorts. I thought maybe we'd declare it a city holiday. I didn't know. Did they stop the waves? Now, if he's surfing waves, I'm impressed. But we want peace. We search for these things. But again, it only comes from one place. That relationship with God gives us the ability to let go. Now, I know that's an incredible phrase, let go and let God, but there's some truth to it. Billy Graham says this, the fruit of the Spirit should be manifested in all believers. In all believers. Let's say all believers. All believers. All of us long for peace of the Spirit. Peace allows us to face what? The worst this world can throw at us with calm, serenity, and trust. I don't know about you, but the world is chunking some worst right now, isn't it? Woo-wee! I'm thinking, Lord, how far are you? Not far. But Billy Graham says, and the Spirit says, listen, I bring you peace so that in the midst of things, you can have peace. Do we have any worriers? Worriers here? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you just to answer this in the quietness of your own heart. What do you worry about most? Don't answer it out loud. We're not in therapy. Can't charge you. Now, here's the truth. We all worry at some level. Some of us are real experts at it. Some of us not so much, but somewhere in there. We all have times, right? Would you like to worry less? Now, this is what I've found to be true. Pastor Jay, would you agree with me? There's some people that thrive on worry. It's like they go to Starbucks and they go, hey, can I have a big hot cup of worry just to get me through the day? Oh, yeah, make it a triple cup of worry. Well, let's look what the Scripture says. John 14 says this, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I've said to you. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to bring to you what I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Whose peace? Whose peace do you want? You want the world's peace? The world doesn't offer peace. Do you want your peace? You might create peace for a little while. You know, when you're having a bad day, you put your earbuds in and you put your yoga music on there for a minute. Woo, peace. But you know what's going to happen? Peace interrupts us. As soon as those earbuds come out. And you know what? The earbuds don't even have to come out. The mind just wanders. So whose peace do you want? Not as the world gives you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now, that's a tall prescription, isn't it? Because I'm going to tell you what, the world throws fearfulness at us all the time. Peace comes from being able to trust that God is in charge and He knows what He's doing. Now, does God's will always make sense? Oh, absolutely not. Do we always like God's will? Absolutely not. But peace comes from a sense of knowing that God's got this. Because listen, if God don't got it, excuse my English teachers, then who's got it? If God doesn't have what's going on, we've got nothing. Man, we're just a car going down a hill with nothing. And if that's the case, well, we're worse off than we think we are. No matter what occurs in this world, we need to understand that God can give us an eternal perspective. I don't understand. There's things going on. There's things that just happened this week. I don't understand. But I ask God to give me an eternal perspective because God is working towards something. God has a plan. And I have to believe in that plan because if He doesn't have a plan, I don't have a plan. And I need something to get up. I need something to keep walking. I need something more than what I can produce. I need something more than what we could produce. And you say, Jimmy, the world, it's just so wrong. God will set it right. We get so consumed with trying to make the world right. Listen, God has called us to love Him with everything we've got and to love them, and God will take care of the rest. Colossians says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So how can you do what you don't know? You must be a student of the word. You can't do what you don't know, amen? Now listen, I know you don't have 6 hours a day to sit down and read your Bible. Listen, take 60 seconds. Open up the smartphone. There's 1,000 great apps. Take 60 seconds. If that's all you've got, spend it with God's Word. Get you a nugget and let that little thing roll around in you. And you'll be surprised what God can do. With all wisdom and teaching, admonishing. Now, what's funny is you hear that word and you're thinking more like punishment, right? To admonish. This word in its original context means this, encouraging. Listen, sometimes the only thing I have, and that sounds terrible, to encourage you with is God's Word. But the truth is that's really where we should start, right? Is prayer our last resort or our first resort? Well, often it's our last resort. To admonish, to encourage. And how can we encourage if we don't know? How can we encourage if we're not experiencing? Have you ever had that cliche preacher who just throws it on you? Well, yeah, I can't. Give me a cliche, Jay. Something. Huh? Come on. All right, Ronnie, you're up. Give me a cliche.
Okay. Come on now.
You got one over here? There we go. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. That sounds really good, doesn't it? But here's the thing. I don't have much handle in me sometimes. And here's the thing, too, is if I can handle it, then do I really need a God? Because if I can handle it, then you know what? Bing, bing, bing. I am God. Man, don't you love those guys? Right. Listen, just getting up and going into this world every day is more than I can handle. Amen? Thank you. Thank you, Janie. You're admonishing me back there. Peace can only come through Jesus Christ. The world will always disappoint you. My friends, the world will always disappoint you. Now, parts of life are very invigorating, very exciting, all those things. But the world in general, listen, if you think Washington one day is going to be heaven-like, you're going to be disappointed. It's so funny. We all get so bent out of shape. Why does Washington act the way they do? Well, most of them, I think, are lost. The world will disappoint us. There will always be circumstances that rob our peace. I'm watching the news, and I got to take it in. I love news, but man, I'm watching the news, and then the information from Nice comes in. And I needed about 3 minutes, and I just had to turn it off. I just couldn't bear it. I just couldn't bear it. But I have a peace. But Jesus promises His calm, even though logic doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not talking about a faith that's illogical. You know, that's what the world says. Well, Christians, they just check their brain at the door. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this assurance. I'm talking about this peace that I and a God who created everything, who knows everything, are in relationship, and He promises me that He'll never leave me or forsake me. He promises that He'll walk through the valley with me. He promises that one day I'm going to be where He is in a place called heaven. And His promise is based on His character and based on everything I've experienced thus far. His character is impeccable. Amen. While this world's is not, I have a peace that passes all understanding. I'm not checking my brain. I'm just telling you, it's easier to believe in a perfect God than an imperfect man sometimes. And then thirdly today, we look at patience. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, everybody in here needs some patience except Megan upstairs. She said she had all she needed in life group. Easy, easy. Patience. See, right there, no patience. Flew right off the handle. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys could use a little patience? Just a little patience. Don't judge me. Now, here's the problem. How do you get patience? Well, Jimmy, I think you download it from the Apple Store. All of us experience impatience. All of us have experienced the consequences of impatience. Let me ask you, has anyone ever flown off the handle and wished you hadn't? Yeah. Man, oh man. Whew. Anybody ever had to go to the hospital for flying off the handle? Oh, okay. Thank you, Pam. I see that hand. How about over here? Do we have one over here? Oh, two. Okay, guys, you're just not in the mending, or the ladies, or we're really out of balance here today. Flying off the handle, that impatience, man, listen, impatience always comes with negative consequences. Whether you think it, whether you say it, whether you do it, man, impatience always brings negative return. All of us can benefit from becoming long-tempered. That word in the scripture means long-tempered. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, having the wisdom to understand that if I fly off the handle, what I hope to occur will probably not occur. And, you know, the scripture says, like, words are like arrows. When you let them go, you don't get them back. And they pierce the heart of that person that you love, and you know what? They can forgive you, but they're not going to be able to forget it. They don't have that privilege. And so how do we have this? Why do we want to have this? Well, do we find it harder to be patient with people, circumstances, or things? How many people have a hard time being patient with people? Do people just drive you nuts or what? How about circumstances? Circumstances get on your nerves, won't they? And then things. You ever get just completely out of control with inanimate things? Car, why won't you run? Like the car's going to stand up. Well, you know, I've got to, you know. Just. The amazing truth is that God wants to make us patient as He is. God wants to make us patient as He is. God wants to make us patient like He is. He provides His own Spirit to impart His patience to us. God's patience is long-tempered and slow to anger with both believers and unbelievers. Here's an amazing thing, Christian. God is long-tempered with us, amen? And if you're here today and you're not a believer, God is equally long-tempered with you. That's amazing. That's a beautiful thing that God was long-tempered with me, especially Jay Sykes. If there was ever a man who stressed God's long-tempered, it was Jay Sykes. Let's look what the Scripture says. In Exodus chapter 34, thumbnail sketch, Moses had gone up on the mountain. God had given the Ten Commandments. They were all good. He goes back down to share the Ten Commandments with the children of Israel. The children of Israel started throwing a party. And Moses gets a little impatient. And he throws the Ten Commandments and they break and it's a problem, right? Well, so now the problem is now what God had provided, impatience is now broken. And so this is where God is going to long-suffer and give it to him again. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him proclaiming, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in, oh, I love that word, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. You know, one of the things that causes us to be impatient is we feel like somebody's getting by or getting over with something. You know, there's a lot of impatience out there today with the policing and all that right now. And you know, the worst thing that you can do, believer, is be impatient. The worst thing that you can do is to be impatient and to give away your salt and light just because you want your hot sports opinion heard by others. Listen. What God wants us to be is to be like Him. What the world needs us to be is to be like Him. Because what the world's looking for, they only find in Him. And they're not selling Him at Walmart. They're not selling Him at 7-Eleven. They're not selling Him at the new Ross. Whoop, whoop. They're not selling Him. There's only one place that's called to be the distributive system of what they need, and that's us. And you know what happens is when we become impatient, when we think the world's getting over on us or the world's getting over on God, and we fire off those sports opinions, we give away all of that influence that we might could have. We just spend it all at one time. You see, I'm more interested in having a bridge of communication than having my hot sports opinion heard by the techno world. Because one day the world is going to go, what? We need something. It may be an individual, a group of individuals. And if ALF sells all of its salt and light just because we want to shake a fist thinking the world's unjust, the world is unjust. We've given it away our birthright. Timothy says this. It's a trustworthy statement. In Timothy it says this. Trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Let's say full acceptance. Say full acceptance. That means you don't get an opinion on it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. Paul's saying, listen, I'm the chief of sinners. And if there can be a vice chief, I'm your guy. We all can say that, right? Well, what then does he say? Well, how about this? Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his what? Perfect patience. As an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. I had a conversation, it was about 2 weeks ago now. A friend of mine called me, and actually Tim's here, and he's not able to be here. He works like all the time, and especially Sundays. And he had a very busy work week coming up, and he was stressed. You could hear the stress in his voice. And he called me. He says, Jimmy, I want you to pray for me. I said, I can do that. I said, what would you have me to pray? He says, well, you know, I'm just under a lot of stress right now, and I just want you to pray that God would get me out of it. I said, okay. I said, I kind of understand where you are. I said, I'm under a little bit of stress right now myself. I said, but let's ask ourselves a question. To which is God more glorified? That he delivers you out from underneath, or that he bears you up underneath? Because God is what? God is in the process of creating what? Patience in us. As he is patient. And there's only what? One way. I said, could we, instead of asking God to take us out of, could we together covenant and ask God to sustain us underneath for his glory? He goes, man. He goes, I've never even heard anything like that. I said, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to covet with you. If you'll covet with me, that I'm going to stand firm underneath the pressure and trust God to put in me what he needs out of me. I said, would you covet with me? He goes, I'll do it. I said, all right. And we prayed. And our text messages back and forth is this. It's gotten simple. It's just this. Still standing in the covenant. Because, my friends, listen. God is more interested in your eternal transformation than your temporary convenience. And you see, the church was never called to be like the world, where if it's convenient and it's comfortable. I mean, we build the lazy river now at water parks. We don't even want to swim. Right? Right? We want to go and pay money and let the water carry us around. What? Listen, God called the church to be swimmers, and we're swimming upstream while the dead is coming downstream. Listen, if living for Christ was easy, everybody would do it. It's kind of like diets. It's kind of like exercise, all those things. If it were easy, everyone would do it. But here's the thing. Is what Jesus did wasn't easy. Do you remember in the garden? Father, if there's any way. Father, I'm grieved to the point of death. As he's walking up Calvary's mountain, as he's hanging on the cross. Did Jesus ever say, hey, Dad, can you help me out? No, he said, Father, not my will. What? The easy way out. I like the easy way out. But what? Your will. Because if Jesus had taken the easy way out, we'd be lost. And church, if we as the church, if we as individual believers, if we as families of believers continue to choose to take the easy way out, our world is hopeless. I choose not to do what is easy, but to do what is right. Because I've only got this long to do it. And this is my prayer for you, and this is my prayer for me. God, keep me strong in the vice until you set me free from the vice. Lord, let me be found faithful in the vice. If people can see you through me in the vice, Lord, I'll take it. Because their eternal security is more important than my temporal convenience. I've got mine. Heaven is my home. If I die today, rejoice because I'm seeing my Savior. But my hometown is without Jesus. And it just radiates out. And if we as a body of faith would commit to just ask God, Lord, we'll take the weight. Just put in us what you need out of us. Oh man, how transformative could it be in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community? Let's not pray for the easy way out. God wants you and me to be patient with Him. Our impatience toward Him reveals a lack of trust that He knows what He's doing. God, may we never say, although I'm pretty sure we will, if you'd just do it my way. It helps to remember when we're struggling with patience, just how patient God is with us. So this week, as we're walking through our world and we're wrestling with that impatience, just ask yourself, how patient is God with me? And do that. Here's our steps for the week. Let's do some fruit inspection. How's our joy, our peace, and our patience? What do we need to celebrate? You know what? There's room to celebrate, right? He's still working on me. I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not as good as I will be. Amen? Let's celebrate what God is doing. Let's be thankful for what He has done and what He is doing. And let's be willing to cultivate what we need to cultivate. Maybe there's some weeds we need to get to picking out. Ask God, Lord, what do I celebrate and what do I cultivate? And if you ask Him in a spirit, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give it to you. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for love, joy, peace, and patience. And Lord, these are not easy things to mature. But Father, I pray today for my friends and my family. Lord, as I pray for myself, Lord, that You would help me become more like You. And Lord, it does scare me. I don't say this flippantly. Lord, whatever's necessary, Lord, I trust You. Lord, I just pray that You would put in us what You need out of us. Lord, put it in us for Your glory. Lord, put it in us for our good. And Lord, put it in us for the sake of those who are lost, facing eternity without You, that they might see You in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite the ushers to come receive the morning giving. I want to thank you guys for giving. If you use the digital kiosk for giving, the one here in the worship center isn't functioning. We're still working on our Wi-Fi connection. So there's one in the Commons building you can use if that's your mode of giving. And I want to say thank you guys for giving. I want to connect your giving real quick. Last 2 weeks, we've had a friend with us named Chad. Last Sunday, if you were here, you remember he sat here with me. Well, Chad was homeless. And he was here in the area, and he was lesser degrees, whether it was outside or... But he was homeless. And first of all, I want you to know how much he loved being here. He complimented you guys. It was really cool to hear him talk about you. Travis, he says, I want you to know that brother Travis sang songs I knew. Well, he showed up this week and knocked on my door, and he says, Pastor, he says, can I go home? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, he's got a place in San Antonio. He says, can I go home? Will you help me go home? I said, yeah, Chad, I'll help you go home. And because of your faithful giving, we got in the car and I said, Chad, have you eaten today? He goes, no, I hadn't eaten today. I said, what would you like? He goes, well, I don't know. I said, Chad, you can have anything you want. He goes, well, can I have McDonald's? I said, yeah, you can have McDonald's. And so we went through Roy City on the way to downtown Dallas. We pulled a McDonald's and I said, Chad, you can have anything you want. If I had the money, I'd have bought him McDonald's. I said, you can have anything you want. He goes, well, I'm not particular. I said, Chad, anything you want. He says, well, can I have 2 egg and sausage burritos? I said, well, would you like something to drink? He goes, well, okay. And so he gets them. He's sitting there in the car, and we're driving. He's just sitting there. I said, Chad, I said, you can eat those. And he starts opening and he eats them. And it was so cool to be your ambassador, to be able to go and buy him a simple ticket that he can get on a bus, and in a few hours he can be where he calls home. So I want you to know that your gifts make a difference every day. Sometimes we see them, sometimes they're really profound, sometimes they're really simple. But I just want to say thank you for your faithful giving. Because today, Chad's at home, and you helped him get there. So thank you very much for your faithful giving. I also want to encourage you guys to stay connected with us through the email, Facebook, Twitter, and other places so that you don't miss out on what God's doing and your opportunity to be a part of that. I love you guys. I hope that you have a great day today. I'll see you Wednesday night as our VBS adventure continues. And if I don't see you Wednesday, Lord willing, I'll see you next Sunday. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, shall we?